In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful to come together this morning to study your word as your family and as your body being united as one under you. We pray that you would be the center of our time. We thank you for the time in worship where we could set our hearts on you and humble ourselves before you, just singing of your greatness and all that you've done for us. And so we pray now that we would know you more, that you would speak to us, reveal something new to us, and help us to grow deeper in what you have for us. Fill me with your spirit to speak your word, and fill each of us with your spirit to receive your word. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Grab a seat. So today we're going to examine a person. Just kidding, it's okay. Today we're going to examine a person that we don't usually spend a lot of time looking at. And it's for a good reason that we don't spend a lot of time looking at him. But I'm excited that we're going to cover it, because occasionally we do need a set time apart to study this person. And it just so happens to be who Peter is talking about to us this morning. And so if you haven't guessed it yet, today we are talking about the devil. Bah, bah, bah. You guys aren't like scared, gasping. Oh no! Somebody screamed. But he goes by many different names: Satan, Lucifer, the tempter, ruler of demons, the evil one, the enemy, the father of lies, murderer, ruler of this world, God of this age, deceiver of this whole world, accuser of God's people, the old serpent. And in our passage today, he's described as a roaring lion. Satan is the first being that we know of in all of creation to commit sin. And since then, he has been doing all that is within his power to lead mankind down the path of destruction. And today we're going to examine as much as we can so we can know about him. And you might be wondering, why? Why would we come to church to study the devil? Why would we come to church to examine, the person who is literally like the epitome of evil? If Satan's so evil, why, and we should still so actively be against him, why would we come to church to talk about him? And there's a couple of reasons. First, because Peter tells us that he is so actively against us, we need to be aware and we need to be watchful of his attacks. And then second reason is there are so many things in this world that can shape our understanding of Satan. Like movies, books, religions, philosophies, and other false things in this world. And we need to make sure that our understanding of Satan is only shaped by truth. It's only shaped by the truth that is revealed in Scripture. So with all of this in mind, today we're going to conduct a profile of the devil. And a profile is like, this is what they do in like crime cases. When someone commits a crime, they make a profile of him. So this person does this. They were raised this way. They have this mental instability. They have this in their past, and this is their goal and their ambitions and everything that they like are passionate about. They make a profile of him. And so us making or conducting a profile of the devil is where we're going to take as much, all of the information that we have from Scripture about Satan, and we're going to put it all together to make a thorough description of Satan. And it's going to be all founded in truth. We're not going to take, you know, what like maybe Satanists believe about Satan, those who worship Satan. We're not going to take any of that because their belief of Satan is founded on false. It's founded not in scripture, it's founded on lies. We're not going to take any philosophies about evil and apply it to the Word of God. We're only going to take the Word of God and then learn from it what it tells us. So here's how we're going to break things down. This is our plan for today. We're going to look at Satan's beginning, Satan's ending, and then the middle, his current goals and methods. So if you're taking notes, that's the way we're going to break things down. And on each slide of the points, I'm going to show you the main passages. So if you want to like go and read it on your own, so you can understand the truth behind Satan, because we're not going to read like everything in the Bible about him. That would take forever. Not forever, because there's really not that much about him, because the Bible focuses on God and how God transforms our lives. But there are a few passages in Scripture that do talk about Satan. So, taking notes, we're going to look at Satan's beginning, Satan's ending, and then Satan's current goals and methods. And then we're going to close looking at how to apply our understanding that we receive from all of that to what Peter tells us in this passage about the devil. So without further ado, let's get into Satan's beginning. So a lot of people think that Satan is equal to God. This is a common belief that Satan and God are two equal forces battling it out like throughout time, and they need to be equal, like because one is good and one is evil, and they keep the balance. They keep things within balance. And this view is totally wrong. It's called dualism, the view that good and evil are two equal forces battling it out. It's completely false. And we can see this in Satan's beginning. Ezekiel 28 verse 13 tells us, "The workmanship of your trembles," speaking of Satan, "the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers, I established you." So here we see that Satan was originally created by God as a mighty, beautiful angel in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, he's referred to as Lucifer, which is not his name, but Lucifer is describing him as a bearer of light. So God viewed and understood and created Satan as a bearer of light, as a Lucifer, not giving him the name Lucifer. We don't actually ever learn the name of Satan. Like, Satan is just a word that means adversary. Lucifer is, it means, bearer of light. So we don't know his name. We just know that he's a thing created by God, angel, and it describes his fall in these passages. God describes him as the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We also get the idea that he played music in praise and honor of God, much like some sort of high heavenly worship leader. We're also told that he's incredibly beautiful, like clothed with these beautiful stones, shining the light of a beautiful morning. And it's his beauty that would eventually lead to his demise and his destruction. And what's important to understand is that Lucifer is one individual, one created being made by God and under the power of God. Ezekiel 28 verse 15 says to Lucifer, this is God speaking to Lucifer, "You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you." So Lucifer was perfect, complete, lacking nothing, until he sinned. And what was his sin? This is very interesting to me. His sin was pride. And we're told that because of his beauty, he said to himself in Isaiah 14, verse 13, He said, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Be like God. So it's at this point that Lucifer rebels against God and chooses his own way, thus becoming Satan, our adversary, our enemy. And we're told in Revelation chapter 12 that a third of all of the innumerable angels choose to follow Satan's rebellion, thus becoming demons. Now, what we don't know exactly is where Satan ends up after his sinful fall. We know that his high heavenly position of what could have been like a worship leader or could have been maybe even similar to what Michael the Archangel is, like a strong, mighty defender and worshiper of God, almost like a leader of angels, that position is removed from him. But he himself is not removed from heaven. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we're told that there are spiritual hosts of wickedness. This would be speaking of Satan and demons in the heavenly places. In Revelation and Job, we're told that Satan and his demons are in the heavenly realm, able to come and go as they please. So his position in heaven is removed from him, but he himself is not removed from heaven. And we see that Satan can go anywhere that he likes in this world. Job 1 verse 7 says, the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. So Satan says, I've just been cruising all over the world, like walking everywhere I want to go, seeing what's happening, seeing what's going on all over the world. And in our passage today, we see that Satan walks about the world. And so that is Satan's beginning. We see he was created as this beautiful, perfect being, created by God, under the power of God, nowhere near equal to God because he is created by God and under the power and authority of God, but he rebelled against God. And we see even in a passage that he rebelled because of his beauty. Because his beauty overtook him, he rebelled against God. And we're told that a third of the demons chose to follow in Satan's rebellion. So that's his beginning. And now let's see what his ending is. Satan's ending can be so complicated, but it doesn't need to be. There's like so much stuff that can be like way overcomplicated, but I promise you it doesn't need to be that complicated. Ultimately, Satan will be defeated. And this is even predicted in the accounts of Satan's first sin. First, Satan and his demons will be thrown out of heaven, never to return. We're told this in Revelation chapter 12, that they get in this like heated battle with Michael the archangel and some of his like angel warriors. I don't know what you would call them. Angel fighters. I don't know. But that they get into this battle and like, ultimately, Michael, the archangel, throws them out of heaven, and we're told that it looks like stars falling out of heaven. A third of the stars fall out of heaven with Satan. And so, the first thing is they're kicked out of heaven, never to return. This has not yet happened. This is in the future. Then we are told in Revelation chapter 20 that when Jesus returns in his second coming, that Satan will be bound. He will be like, I don't know if he'll be like tied or like handcuffed. We don't know. And he's going to be locked into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And we're told the pit is bottomless and that there's a key to it and that it is locked. And he's locked in there for 1,000 years. And then after those 1,000 years, for a time, Satan will be released for one last rebellion, and then that rebellion will be destroyed. And then we are shown in verse 10 of Revelation chapter 20 that the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So Satan's rebellion, all that Satan has in store for him, is an eternity in hell. And now a lot of people think that hell is like Satan's hangout pad, that he has like a throne there and he's like, oh yeah, welcome to my place. No, that is not the truth. That is not the reality of hell. What we see is that in hell, Satan will not be better than anyone. Satan will not be like a ruler of people's punishments. He'll not be telling people what to do and how to do it. But Satan will be there to be tortured along with everyone else in hell. So Satan is not like the king of hell. Satan is not like ruling and controlling and telling people what to do in hell. When Satan is sent to hell, he is there to be tortured along with everyone else. And that's important to understand. Satan has no power, no authority, no rule. He lies saying that he does. He lies to people in this world to where in movies and in culture and books and philosophies, they think that there is this sort of Hades, if you would, someone who is lord of the underworld. But Satan will never have that. And Satan does not have it even currently. So now that we see his beginning and we see his ending, now we're able to look and see what his current goals and his current methods are right now. So what does Satan do in between that? In between his beginning and in between his ending, what are his goals? What are his methods? How does he achieve? What does he do? And how, like, who is he? How can we identify him? What I want to talk about is what Satan's doing in between. So Satan has read the Bible, and this is important to understand. Satan is not like, he doesn't hate the Bible and shun it. He hates the truth of God because he's prideful, but he doesn't hate the Bible and shun it. Satan knows the prophecies. He knows what is in store for him in the future. It was told to him by God the moment that sin came into his heart. So since he knows that he has an eternal punishment in store in his future, he has made it his main goal to bring as many people down with him. That is his goal, and he will stop at nothing to do it. He has been doing it from the beginning, sinning and bringing as many people into his sin and into his punishment as he possibly can. And that's the truth. You need to understand that. Satan and his army of demons are actively doing all that they can to turn people against God and to send them to hell. And they're organized. They're watching what happens on earth. One translation of when Satan says, I've been going to and fro on earth, one translation says, I've been going to and fro on earth watching everything that's happening. He's watching, and they're learning. And they're learning creatures, becoming smarter and smarter each and every passing day. And this all started in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent, as Satan is called, the serpent of old, tempted Eve. And look at what he does. First, he challenges God. He says, has God really said that you can't eat of all these fruit trees? Has God really said that? So first he challenges God. Did God really say that you can't do that? Did your parents really say that? And then he lies. He says, so Eve is like, yeah, God didn't say we can't eat of every tree. God just said we can't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, because if we do, we'll surely die. And then the serpent lies. He says, "You shall not surely die." That is 100% a lie. 100%. But that is what Satan says, and she believes it. Okay, we won't die. And then finally, he blames God. He points fingers at God. He says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, the day you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So Satan challenges God, he lies to her, and then he blames God, saying, "God is just doing this because he's jealous. God's just doing this because he doesn't want you to have as much power as he has." And maybe that is what Satan believes. Maybe it's what he thinks. Maybe his pride has convinced him of that. And so he's good at telling that lie. But no matter what, it is a lie. And we see Satan's desire to keep people from God and lead them to hell. We see this not only start there in the Garden of Eden, but we see it occur all throughout Scripture. We are told that Cain was of Satan when he killed his brother Abel. We see him bring devastation on Job. And we see very clearly in chapter 1 of Job that Satan is responsible for that. We see Satan tempt Jesus. Satan, the full embodiment of Satan, we see him physically tempting Jesus. We see him interfere with missionaries through demonic possession in the book of Acts. We see him actively dividing many of the young Christian churches in the New Testament. And his work will only get worse and more divisive, more specific, more powerful until Jesus returns. Now, here are some of Satan's common methods of attack. These are some of the common things that he does to attack believers and non-believers alike. He lies. Satan, another name for Satan is the father of lies. Satan is a big, fat liar. And we need to understand this. He lies in all the possible ways he can. And this is why we need to learn about him only from the Word of God. Because what we see in media, what we see in books, what we see in philosophy, what we see in the Satanist religion is all lies. So he lies. He tempts believers. He tempts them to sin. He tempts them to wickedness. He places thoughts in people's minds. He has the power to inspire thinking. He makes accusations against us before God. So in heaven, we're told that Satan is there blaming Christians, saying, "Look at what they're doing. Look at what's happening right there. I bet you if a storm came upon Job, if Job was tormented, he would deny you. I bet it's nothing more than that." He leads Christians away from truth. He leads them away from the truth of God's word. He raises doubt in people's minds. He makes you feel alone and separated from God. He turns people against you. He has the power to criticize you through the words of other people. And we're also told that with God's permission, he can cause sickness, physical sickness. He can cause disease. He can cause pain. We're told that with the permission of God, he can cause natural disasters like earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. We're told that with God's permission, he can kill. That is another name for Satan, the murderer. And these are just some of the things that Satan is capable of. But before we go any further, we need to see his weaknesses. We need to understand his limitations. First, you need to understand that Satan is nothing like God. Satan is not even the opposite of God because he's nowhere near as powerful. Satan can only be in one place at one time. He can probably move pretty quick because he's like a fallen angel and They're swift. Yeah. I don't think so. Only, I don't know. Because we do see him perform miracles that are outside of reality. Yes? Probably pretty quick. Probably a pretty quick dude. Let me get through this and then you guys will be good to go. So he can only be in one place at one time. He's quick. I'm hesitant to say that he can't raise the dead, because I would think if they were not a believer, because he couldn't remove them from heaven. I don't know. Ask me about that after. I can think more about it. He does not know everything. He's not like God. God knows everything. So Satan cannot read our thoughts. Satan is not going to break into your brain and understand what's going on in it. He can put thoughts in your mind, but he cannot read your mind. He does not know the future. He knows what's written in the Bible about the future, but he does not know like what's going to happen later this morning, what's going to happen tonight. He doesn't know when God is, or when Jesus is going to return. He's not all powerful. Satan has limits. Satan gets worn out. Satan gets tired. Satan probably needs to sleep and rest. In Job, we see that he cannot even mention the name of a Christian unless God does it first. So Satan goes up to heaven and I guess hangs out around God until God goes, "Hey, have you seen my servant Job?" And then they start talking about it. Satan is not the first to name Job. It's God. He cannot tempt a Christian without God's permission, and he cannot force a Christian to sin. He cannot even touch a Christian without God's permission. And then finally, he cannot win. Satan, no matter what he does, how he does it, his ending is defeat. His ending is failure. And now, a lot of people do wonder if Satan can do miracles, if like equivalent to what Jesus has done. And some people think that the only miracles that Satan can do are like fake miracles, like it seems like it, but it's not actually real. Other people believe that he can do miracles and that they are really happening. And it would be hard to say what the truth is within that. But he is capable of abilities that are beyond our own. But what's important to take from this is Peter tells us to watch, to be sober, to be vigilant, to be aware of Satan's attacks. And this is why we need to understand his goals and methods, so we can identify his tactics, his methods for attacking us. And once we identify those, Peter tells us, resist him. And resisting him is easy. When temptation comes your way, read your Bible. Flee from the sin. When you start to feel alone and separated from God, continue coming to church, even if it feels weird. When you start to feel afraid, pray. When you get doubts in your mind, get answers for those doubts. And we're told, we have this promise that Satan is a coward. And any time we resist him in any way, praying, reading our Bible, saying the name of Jesus, fellowshipping, coming to church, worshiping God, when we resist the devil, James says this in chapter 4, verse 7, he will flee from us. He will run from us like a little baby, because he cannot stand up to God. He cannot stand up to the power of God in our hearts. And that is what we need to take away. That when we stand firm on our faith, clinging to the word of God, to worship, to fellowship, to prayer, Satan cannot affect us because he's afraid. He flees from the power of God in our lives. So let's pray. Come to a close. If you have any questions, I can do my best to answer those after. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for your power. We're thankful that we have no reason to fear Satan or to fear his demons and their organizations against this world, because your power that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We pray that we would rest on that promise, that we would understand that, yes, our enemy will come at us with all that he has, but when we resist him and cling to your truth and stand firm on our faith, he will flee from us and he will flee from you. We are blessed to understand this, Lord, and blessed by the strength that you have given us. We pray that you would make us more aware of the methods and goals of Satan and demons in this world, and that we would identify those and resist those actively in our lives. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, y'all are good to go.